On today's episode of the Locked On Nets podcast, Marcus and Josh recap their trip to the Pacific Northwest, giving you all the details and get you caught up to speed on recent Nets news, Rodion Krook's unfortunate situation, Wilson Chandler's suspension, the thought of signing either Carmelo Anthony or Joe Johnson. We have it all coming up next.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in to a Wednesday night / Thursday morning edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass, a lifetime fan of your Brooklyn Nets. And joining me, he's one of my best friends. He's my podcast co-host. And now me and him have just returned from a vacation in the Pacific Northwest, Marcus Barahal. Marcus, how great was our trip?
Oh, it was so good. The only downside was the lack of podcasting. You know, we didn't get any out. We were very busy with Gavin and the gang. Yeah, but it was a very good trip. Saw a lot of nature. Pacific Northwest, very beautiful. And big shout out, I think, to Vancouver. You and I both really enjoyed that city, I think. So here's hoping they get a team. Also Seattle, I guess. Both hoping that they get teams soon so that we can go back there.
Absolutely. Van City.
Van City, baby.
I think I could move to Vancouver or Seattle or Portland.
Yeah, you spent the one extra day in Vancouver, Josh. How was your one extra day there solo?
Oh, it was great. It was really good. I got very, very good sushi. One of the best sushi I've had in my life. Shout out to Miku right on the water in Vancouver. I went to the Granville Island Public Market again, which you and I and your girlfriend and then Gavin, who I guess was my significant other on the trip, went to the night before, but it was closed basically. So I actually went there for the real experience, walked around. It was kind of dreary, but made the best of it and also shopped at the OVO store. Had a good day. Good day.
Did you get something at the OVO store?
Yeah, yeah.
I got What'd you get?
Crew neck.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that.
Offline.
Definitely.
It's a good one. I got some Lululemon stuff. Trust me, I'm not this bougie, but you know, I went in with the expectation. I was like, okay, hopefully it's the same retail price as what it is in the States, but with the exchange rate, it's actually 25% cheaper. But then I got there and it was actually basically they neutralized for it. They made the prices on the tag more expensive than what you'd see in the US. So then when you do the exchange rate down, it was basically equivalent. So they found out my little trick. But I was already there, so figured, hey, whatever, I'll just get it.
They caught on to our little ruse that we hatched when we first went into the store.
They caught on, but great trip. We didn't, unfortunately, get to link up with Locked On Blazers. That will have to wait till our next time out there. Locked On Warriors as well, because we're in San Francisco. But maybe if they make their way to New York, we will do a joint pod and talk about Alan Crabb together with the Blazers. And for the Warriors, we can talk about D'Angelo Russell, a guy named Kevin Durant, and maybe some others if there's other trades in the future.
Maybe Sean Livingston?
Yeah, no, we could all express our love for Sean Livingston. But Marcus, while we were away, a lot of Nets news, some good, some bad, some ugly. Actually, I don't think anything good happened, unfortunately. Definitely a lot of bad. First, we'll start with something a bit more lighthearted, which I'm a little bit upset about also. It's the headband outlaw in the NBA. The karate headband is no more.
This really upset me. I know we're going to get into some more serious topics in a second, but just quickly on this, like, I don't know. It felt a little bit like how the NFL has been in the past few years, where they're just like banning things to, I don't know, like exert power. I don't know who these headbands were harming. I get that it, I guess, could be a safety issue if someone like pulls on it, but like so could like having dreads or like long hair. So I don't know. I don't really get it.
Yeah, safety issue. It's at the end of the day, it's still a piece of cloth, so it doesn't matter. It's like saying someone can't wear a shirt underneath their jersey. I actually, maybe, I don't think they can in the NBA, but it's just so irrelevant. And it does feel very draconian and very NFL-like, as you mentioned. The NBA, I think one of the best things about it is that you all know the players. Everyone knows people know the 10th man on some random team more than they might know a really high profile like linebacker in the NFL, just because you can see the NBA players. They're allowed to express themselves. And I think that's what makes it great. You know, you have the guy like John Collins with the short shorts. You have the guys just rocking the long shorts like TJ Ford did back in his draft picture. So like everyone has their own style, their own expression. And I think the karate headbands that Jared Allen, of course, Nets related, was rocking last year. Jimmy Butler, a bunch of guys did. And I think it's just a shame that they decided to outlaw that. And I think hopefully they'll revisit it in the future. But wanted to get that out there. It's certainly going to be missed this year.
Yeah. And did you see Mike Scott's tweet that was like sort of maybe blaming the Blazers for this? Because someone asked, like, who should I argue with about this, to Mike Scott, who's like one of the biggest proponents of this headband. And he said, "Dumb folks in Oregon, LOL." So I don't know if that means Nike or if that means the Blazers, or Nike. I'm not sure.
I think that means Nike. I think that means that Nike wasn't making those kind of headbands, so they couldn't monetize it. And they just basically, it's what I would assume. I assume Mike Scott's not taking shots.
I don't know. He's one of our favorite players. We'd have to back him.
He's a journeyman. He can't alienate one of the 29 potential other teams if he were to make moves away from Philly, you know?
Yeah. I was really excited to see LeBron. Seemed like he was going to start wearing this. He tweeted that, or Instagrammed, I think, that picture of him wearing it. And he said, "Kung Fu King, Bruce Lee, Bron." That was so ready.
Yeah, that was good. Like, also, can we go back to Mike Scott for a second?
Sure. Yeah.
This dude, for an okay player, but a role player, this dude is in the media more than anyone I've ever seen. He's always in some sort of drama. There was the stuff with the tailgate this past weekend at the Eagles-Redskins game. Was there something a few years ago with him getting into a fight where he had some domestic violence claim or something like that?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I just went to his Twitter, and his header image is him on all the different teams he's played for, which is pretty funny. It's like him on the Hawks, him on the Wizards, Sixers, Clippers. Just like, it looks like a whole starting lineup that you'd see for a team promo, but they're just all Mike Scott.
Ridiculous. Yeah, he was pulled over he was arrested for having 35 grams of weed and 11 grams of ecstasy while driving SUV. But apparently, they dismissed it against him and his brother because it might have basically been racial profiling, even though I guess they did have the drugs. But there wasn't necessarily the means necessary to pull them over.
Right, like a reason to stop and search them, yeah.
But I don't know. Scott, enough, please. Just go a year or two without causing any drama.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe without the headband, maybe. Although I would think that, if it's a quote-unquote ninja-style headband, he should be very focused and very zen when wearing it. So maybe he'll be even crazier after this.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, listen, for style choices, I usually go to our friends at Indochino, which is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com. when entering the code Locked On, LOCKEDON, at checkout. And I know our boy Gavin actually went to the Indochino store, not the Locked On store. Hopefully we'll have a Locked On store in the future. And I need my sweater also from Locked On. But Gavin went to the Indochino store in San Francisco, got his measurements done, got a made-to-measure shirt. He was very, very enthused by it and complimentary of the experience there. So highly recommend that y'all go check it out for some great, great menswear. I know we will be doing that.
And did you know, do you remember this in San Francisco? There was that one block where it was just an Indochino, a Bonobos, a Casper mattresses or something like that. There's three or four different podcast stores. Yeah, Untuck It, that's right. That was weird.
Big Untuck It. All the podcast stores have to stick together. You know, you're getting your discounts. You want to just cluster them together so It reduces travel time. It's the way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
So we will now talk about some definitely more serious stuff that happened over the last couple of weeks and really took the Nets world by storm. Obviously, very unfortunate news surrounding Rodion Krutz. It's currently just allegations, but he is being charged with some pretty serious stuff with an ex-girlfriend of his being charged of choking her, slapping, biting, pushing. So obviously, if there's any sort of merit to that whatsoever, in these cases, obviously, want to really ensure that the person that's coming out and making that accusation, that even if they're coming out against someone that has some sort of fame or celebrity, that they're being taken very seriously and that their accusations are given proper merit. Because if any of that is true, then it's obviously completely inexcusable on the part of Rodion. So he's been charged with third-degree assault and other misdemeanor offenses as well. Especially, that's not okay for anyone to do whatsoever, especially someone who is like 6'10", and obviously an extremely intimidating force. Definitely very, very upsetting news to hear that come out of Netsland.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just, like you said, it's very upsetting to hear, very troubling. And I think that we both agree that this kind of is beyond basketball. And like, regardless of like any impact that this will have for the Nets or for Krutz on the court, I think what's more important is like that the truth comes out or whatever, and that any potential victims like get the justice that they deserve, I guess. Overall, just like a very unfortunate story, and one that I think is probably taken away from like what the Nets have built as a team. And just honestly, just hoping that everything, I guess, is resolved off the court, and that the Nets, whether or not their future includes Krutz at this point, whether like they just can move forward from it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. According to Sports Illustrated, Rodion's attorney, Alex Spiro, has told SI that the allegations are bogus and are just kind of related to the woman trying to get back at him after a bad breakup. Of course, we want to ensure that the alleged victim, her claims are given every opportunity to be validated, because anyone who's brave enough to come out, if there's any chance that it could be accurate, needs to ensure that they have complete support of the public, the media, and any sort of police behind them to ensure that we can get to the bottom of what happened.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. It's just like, it's a lot, like hearing the DeMarcus Cousins news recently. Obviously, there was that Antonio Brown story that just came out recently. So it's a lot. And I think a lot of people come to watch sports to escape the real world, but it's like, it's kind of tough too, because these are still real people. And this is a reminder that like, it's not probably a good thing to like deify anyone. And even though these guys do things that a lot of us could never imagine doing on the court, they're still normal people off the court and are capable of being any range of type of person, like good or bad. So I think just, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's a tough situation. Just hopefully everything works itself out.
Yeah, I just want to get to the bottom of this and see what happened, and then be able to move on from there. Since the season is not going to start for another about a month or so, the NBA doesn't need to take any official action yet. They can see how the case develops, and then from there, if there's still no resolution before the season starts, they can go in and give it a token suspension to Rodion's, and hopefully buy the criminal procedure some more time until there's a resolution one way or the other. But obviously, if he were to be convicted of this, I no shape or form should he be on the Nets any further.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So very upsetting news there. On to something still not good, but luckily no one is getting hurt or anyone else involved. Wilson Chandler has been suspended for 25 games by the NBA for taking PEDs.
Yeah, and in his statement, I guess, that he released to ESPN, he didn't like deny it or try to fight or anything. It seems from his statement that he was just confused as to what was banned and what wasn't banned, and he was taking this to try to return from injury. I'm not sure I 100% believe that, but I don't think that it really matters one way or the other. I think he seems like he's accepting of the 25-game suspension, which will cost him over $500,000, which is insane. But
Yeah.
so he's out now. Kurucs could be out. So this is like a lot of change and like a lot of turmoil happening right now to the Nets.
Yeah, a lot of the wing depth is going on by the wayside. Obviously, Wilson Chandler wasn't supposed to be a huge part of the team this year, but I did talk about it with Josh Lloyd on Locked On Fantasy. Go check that out if you haven't heard it yet. Josh did a great job, and as always, and really does excellent things, breaking down really every player and aspect of the team, both from an NBA and also from a fantasy lens. But Wilson Chandler, I was really excited for him. He's back in the New York area. You know, he's a great tattoo guy. So it is unfortunate, especially with everything happening with Kurucs. We're going to dive deep in this next podcast, really on what it means for the Nets from a wing rotation standpoint, just because we had so much news to catch up on today. And obviously, you guys really want to hear about the breakdown of our trip as well. But, you know, I think Wilson Chandler is someone, obviously not a great player, but a wing with size. Who can defend these other bigger wings, even though he's lost a step or two from his peak. So without Rhodey, without Wilson Chandler, now you kind of have Prince, you have Joe Harris, who can guard more smaller guys, but they're really missing a guy like Damari Carroll, for instance, or Jared Dudley, guys that they let go in free agency this summer because they thought that Rhodey could take another leap, and they thought, worst case, Wilson Chandler could fill some minutes. But now you sign a guy like Garrett Temple, who's a very good defender, but he's more of a lithe body type. He doesn't have the size and strength to guard guys like Kawhi or Paul George.
Yeah, and we already knew that they'd be without KD, so that's like another body that they're down. So it's really three guys who all kind of play that same position where they're like mostly a four, but also kind of a three at times. Like you said, there's Joe Harris, there's Taurean Prince. I think Taurean Prince is gonna have to play a huge role now. And there's also been rumors that they're like maybe interested in bringing Carmelo Anthony in. He's like been working out with a lot of the guys in LA. He obviously knows like Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, those guys from Team USA stuff, and just from like being great NBA players. But yeah,
He's
and
great.
Taurean Prince was like tweeting. I think I don't know if he's like trying to recruit him or just to put some respect on his name, I guess, that he's like looked the same out there. He was toasting Danny Green, which
I
I don't know
saw.
how big of an accomplishment that is in 2019, but.
Yeah.
Who knows? What do you think about Melo possibly coming in
Yeah.
now that the Nets are so thin at the like 3-4 position?
Yeah, let's get into this bit because for me, like I see everyone saying, oh, Melo still got it, Melo still got it. And like the respect from the existing NBA players has never been a problem. They never lost that respect in him. It's really the people that kind of understand that, and not to say that, understand that one-on-one scoring is not the most important part of the game. So like when Chris Brickley tweets a video of Melo, you know, it's all self-promotion. We're not seeing a full game. We're seeing highlights. And I'm not saying he can't get buckets. Who knows of the clips he showed? He definitely looked fairly spry, but in a team setting, 5-on-5, real game, when people are actually helping out on defense and when he has to defend others, how is he going to look? And I just don't think he's going to be someone that can really contribute. And offense still is not the problem. You know, you have a ton of firepower in Kyrie, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, Taurean Prince can get red hot from three. You have some nice centers in Jarrett Allen and DeAndre Jordan. They don't need another guy to soak up shots. They need someone that can fit into a role and defend. And just seeing a highlight clip of Melo is not going to prove to me that he can do that. So, especially like a month before training camp starts, I don't see the need to go, or not a month before training camp starts, a month before really the NBA gets kicked into gear and preseason getting started in early October. So I don't see the need to sign him now. Maybe you can let it play out and say, let's say the Nets start out the season 5-7, and they definitely need more guys that can just be capable offensive threats on the wing. Then maybe you look and say, hey, could Carmelo Anthony help us? Before the season even starts, before training camp even starts, there's no need to make a signing. I think it's a lot better to keep your flexibility and then see what happens. Who knows? Jared Allen could, or DeAndre Jordan
could be out for the season right away. It's the Nets aren't any stranger to that when Jeremy Lin went down in the first game of the year against Indiana a couple seasons ago. So if you have an injury like that, you want to be flexible with your roster. You don't want to say, hey, no, we just signed Carmelo Anthony. We have one less spot because we anticipated a need as opposed to actually evaluating it.
Yeah, and the roster is full right now, but I just going back to Chandler for a second, they could actually add a 16th guy. I think it's five games into the season, so that would be around like early November. So I agree that it makes sense to let it play out for the first few games, especially since you'd have to get rid of someone to bring him in. And then maybe once you have that extra spot, maybe that's the time where if you still need someone, maybe like 7-10 games into the season, if it's like a really glaring hole, then maybe then you bring him in. Or even like try to trade for someone or sign someone else. I feel like there will probably be guys who are available. Like I don't know how realistic this is, but if the Thunder are going to trade Chris Paul, which it seems like they could eventually, maybe Gallinari becomes available, someone like that. I don't know, but I agree that like rushing to sign Melo is probably not the right move.
Yeah, absolutely. And also they were linked to Joe Johnson again, obviously.
Yeah,
who's a longtime Net, Joe Jesus. Great Net, but he was supposed to work out the team. He ended up working out for Detroit. It's like I don't see the need to bring back one of these vets because the Nets are not going to win the championship this year. They're not going to make the Eastern Conference Finals this year. Best case scenario, they make the Eastern Conference Semifinals. This year is not important. You want to make sure that guys like LeVert, Joe Harris, Torian Prince are getting ample minutes and ample time on the court to mesh with each other, mesh with Kyrie Irving, Spencer Dinwiddie, whomever. You don't need Carmelo Anthony and Joe Johnson coming in and taking up a lot of shots because those guys are going to come in. They're not going to stand in the corner. And obviously these guys have a ton of respect from the other players. So other players will defer to them, especially when you have guys like, I don't know, Kyrie Irving or not Kyrie Irving, sorry, Torian Prince or Garrett Temple or other guys who are more so looking to prove themselves, Shannon Musa as well. So like for me, it doesn't make sense to go out and sign one of these vets given where the Nets are right now in their team construction.
Yeah, that's a really good point because I think that we both and a lot of people expect the Nets to make the playoffs. And at the same time, it is still a rebuilding year because things are looking towards the 2020-2021 season when KD's back, when the Nets actually could compete for a championship. And I think that, like you said, this year is about the improvement of those guys that they already have locked up. Like they've signed their core. They gave LeVert the extension. I think Joe Harris is the only like major piece who's like unsigned going into next offseason. So I think it is about developing LeVert, getting Dinwiddie some more reps, maybe with the second unit and like improving his defense, improving Jared Allen's finishing around the rim and all that kind of stuff. And then for Kyrie Irving, just fitting him into the culture. And I think that when you add in another guy like Carmelo Anthony, who hasn't necessarily been like a problem in the locker room, but also hasn't been like an asset, I would say, like the Jeremy Lin stuff in New York aside, I guess. But I think that that would just be another guy to fit in, another mouth to feed. And like you said, I think that perimeter defense is probably the bigger issue for the team. Like they scored fine last year, even. They put up tons of points in plenty of games, and it was the defense that was a problem. And so this year, at that position where they were already weak, now they're losing guys already like before the season even started this year, I think it's probably more important to sign someone who's maybe more like a David Nwaba type, but just like a bigger version of that.
Yes, exactly. Take a flyer on someone with some upside, especially, you know, LeVert just signed his extension. But guys like when you look at Torian Prince this upcoming offseason, the Nets are going to have to make a tough decision on him. And it's most likely that they're not going to want to pay him to resign. That's one of the reasons why Atlanta got rid of him, because they said, we like Torian Prince, but also we don't know if we want to resign him. So let's just get some assets in place. That's why the Nets should be taking swings at guys with some upside, like they've done in the past, to get Joe Harris on the team, to get Spencer Dinwiddie on the team. You need to keep doing that. That's what really is the problem for a lot of these teams. They are in asset gathering mode, taking shots on people. Then they hit on a couple, they get some stars in place, and then they think they need to just surround them with vets that don't really have any upside or add much value at current time. So what are they doing? And then they're not taking those shots at guys from the G League that could end up being diamonds in the rough. And then that's why their role players really end up stagnating, and then these superstars leave. It happens time and time again. Not saying it's going to happen with the Nets because I have trust in Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, but it just goes to show there's no real reason why you need to clog up a roster spot with Carmelo Anthony and Joe Johnson, who was playing in the freaking big three a month ago, as opposed to taking a shot on someone from, who knows, the Sioux Falls Stampede that could be dropping 17 and 8 and playing really good defense.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Joe Johnson's hit way more four-pointers than anyone in the NBA right now.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I should have thought of that. And this is why I said we shouldn't have taken Nick Claxton. We should have taken the I guess Calvin Gailey wouldn't have helped us that much. But the other guy, Opala from Stanford.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see Nick Claxton, though, because I think that they sort of wanted to kind of use him as a four. At least they played him alongside bigs at times in the summer league. So I don't think he's like going to be the answer for the team at the four, but I'm interested if he gets a couple minutes there.
Agreed. We'll see what happens with Claxton. He definitely has some tools, but I'm not super bullish after some of the tape that I watched on him. So you can follow us on Twitter. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. I'm at JMBass _. Our combined knowledge and tweets is at Locked On Nets. Please rate and review the podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If that's Himalaya, great. Spotify, perfect. Apple Podcasts, wherever you get them, we will be there. And we really hope that you subscribe and give us your feedback. As it's been a busy couple of Nets weeks. Obviously, not the news that we wanted, both for the Nets and personally for some of the guys that we've watched. We watched 82 times last year. But definitely think brighter days are ahead, and we will speak to you again next time.
Bye.